This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 389. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
The gals take over the Justice League. Agent 37 will be back in her Spiral Secret Service, Radical Heroes, and Space Ghost. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, January 31st, 2016. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
And you can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Like us at facebook.com/sfppn. Follow us on Twitter @sfppn. Check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn. Or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Justice League 3001 number 8 by Giffen, DeMatteis, Collins, and Hi-Fi. So we get our first look at the all-female Justice League, Supergirl, the original, a clone of Wonder Woman, a female clone of Flash, a female clone of Guy Gardner, Fire and Ice, the originals, one's a goddess and the other one's really a demon, and a descendant of Batman named Tina. So we've jumped 6 months forward in the title. The Justice League has been in hiding on Tacron Galtos.
Which is actually Earth, right?
Right.
Okay.
After Lady Styx and the Scullion robots took over, they've taken civilian jobs and they avoid using their powers. They're doing this to collect intel over time on Lady Styx in order to take her down.
Now, are they actually hiding on Tacron?
They're in...
Or is it like they gate there to work and look for information and then they gate to some other secret place? I couldn't quite figure that out.
Well, they're not wearing the costumes and they're not showing their powers and they're out getting regular jobs that allow them to collect that information. They're not technically in hiding. They're hiding in plain sight, as it were.
Right. But I was just like, the secret hideout they go to at the end may not actually be on Earth, right?
I thought they warped to Paradise Island.
Yeah. Which would be on Earth, right? Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
The ruins of that.
Uh-huh.
And they're starting to get on each other's nerves because they've spent 6 months together and can't use their powers. Tina, a.k.a. Batman, in the Bat armor, is out fighting anyway. She's not supposed to be. Supergirl, now in a new suit, drags her back. And Tina's now wearing a version of the Robin suit. As she says, she gets to be the hero and the sidekick.
Yeah, if she's wearing Robin's suit inside the armor.
Right. So she's putting the whole team in danger. Guy's original female mind is taking over. Because remember...
They used... people.
Yeah, and they just kind of overlaid the consciousness of the original heroes on top of them, and apparently it's wearing off.
Now, I'm not quite sure why, if you were doing that, you would pick a girl or a female body for a male hero, but...
Right. And they're all nervous and scared about the whole thing, because they essentially lost and had to go in hiding.
Mm-hmm.
Kara's watching a Lady Styx broadcast, and Lady Styx says, all she wants is total obedience and life will go on as normal. So do what I say and you can have your regular lives on the planet. Kara decides it's time to stop hiding. And meanwhile, the lady brought in Terrence Magnus, one of the Wonder Twins that started the whole series.
And theoretically, the Flash clone is partially based on the twin of Terrence.
Right. And now Terrence is a mind wipe drone. The lady has plans for him, and based on the next issue blurb, he's going to become Eclipso. This went from a wacky title to more grim and gritty, and let's see if Giffen can pull back the darkness a bit.
Yeah, I'd like to see it go back to the bwahaha.
Because you want to see blue and gold back
in. I do. I'm kind of pouting a little bit.
Yeah. Grayson number 16 by King, Seeley, Janin, and Cox. The whole issue is about Agent 37, Dick Grayson, and Agent 1 taking out the other Spiral agents. And we see them all over the world in France, Italy, Greece, Georgia, Russia, Mongolia, China, Thailand, East Timor, New Guinea, Australia, the U.S., Guyana, Morocco, and Portugal. So you're just seeing these little tiny, in some cases, one panel from each of these places. Doing lots of spy-type activities. They break into a secret party. They're driving a car off a cliff. There's a shot of them walking away from an explosion on a beach in swimwear.
Not just in swimwear, in Speedos.
Yeah.
Gratuitous.
Riding motorcycles, fighting sharks, whitewater rafting, taking out a convoy, and generally kicking butt throughout all this. And throughout the whole thing, Dick is quipping and singing his way through it all because he's decided he needs his own theme song, apparently. Agent 37, bow, bow, bow. He's the spy with the face of swirls. He gets all the girls, but he calls them women because girls, although it fits the rhyme scheme, is kind of misogynistic and doesn't show proper respect for the other equal sex.
Thank you very much for that, Mark. I do appreciate your verbalizing it.
While Spiral has brought in a team to stop them, including Frankenstein, the Agent of Shade Frankenstein, Bronze Tiger, Grifter, King Faraday, and some others who I don't really recognize, our heroes hear about this, and they decide they need to get some help from Checkmate and Maxwell Lord. So this is going to be quite a bloodbath when these two teams of assassins and spies go up against each other in this battle royale. We hear that Celia and King are leaving the title, unfortunately. I think this is their big finale they're leading up to. And then somebody else is going to take it over and, as always happens, throw out everything the previous creatives did. And
yeah, and it's some mysterious reason, like they're going to do something else with Dick Grayson.
I don't know how much bigger. It's some big thing.
Yeah, and, you know, this is his own title. What's, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Jupiter's Circle, Volume 2, Number 3 from Image by Millar and Sprouse. The prequel miniseries to Jupiter's Legacy rolls on, and it's all about a group of superheroes that are living in what is really the real world. We're now in 1966. One of the members of the group, Sky Fox, has gone all radical and has decided to take more direct action in the world. He kidnaps Vice President Hubert Humphrey and tells President Johnson to pull out of Vietnam or he'll give Humphrey to the Viet Cong. While the other heroes watch and try to stop him, meanwhile, 60s-style supervillain Dr. Hobbs, who is complete with goons with names on their shirts, just like the old Batman TV series, leaves prison on a technicality.
He seemed to remind me a lot of Lex Luthor from the movie.
Yeah.
The Superman movie.
Yeah, he's definitely an analog of that. Utopian is there to warn him to stay out of trouble. And it turns out Hobbs is working on a machine to transfer the hero's powers to his team of goons. And later he tells his crew that the heroes must be stopped because he's super brain. He's realized there's going to be a tipping point in 2016, and that's when Jupiter's legacy is set.
Mm-hmm.
Later, Utopian is at this charity event, and this rich businessman offers half his fortune if Utopian will father a child for him.
He says no, of course,
yeah.
But that may be revisited. You never know.
Then Ayn Rand accosts him, saying the Utopian is her theories in action, and he doesn't like to hear that at all. Suddenly, there's a burglary in the area. Utopian and Lady Liberty stop the bad guys. One of the crooks says, I'm just doing it for my poor family. And Utopian offers to pay him if he stays on the straight and narrow. This shocks Lady Liberty and is like, is what Ayn Rand said, is that affecting you that much to do something like this? Of course, the whole thing turns out to be a trap because it's Dr. Hobbs. He fires his gun and transfers their powers to his goons. And now he's off to go get the other heroes. Kind of a mix of reality and fantasy. Little reminiscent of Watchmen, I think.
Watchmen was much grim and grittier.
Oh, true. Yeah, this is much more Silver Age-ish. Well, we do have a quick news update. DC is going to launch a new set of titles based on Hanna-Barbera characters. And of course, Warner Brothers owns both DC and Hanna-Barbera. And DC has done Hanna-Barbera titles before, And they have a long-running Scooby-Doo title that's kind of running under the radar in terms of the numbers because it doesn't really do very well. But they've been putting it out for a long time.
But it's really a kid's comic.
Absolutely a kid's comic. Now, these are going to be more adult. And I mean this in the terms of, you know, not kids' titles.
Well, the artwork is definitely more adult. And I think the story themes probably will be, too.
Right. So here's the lineup. The Flintstones by Connor and Russell, and they're looking much more realistic.
Well, and in the promo piece for this, you see Fred smoking and, you know, definitely not going to be a kid's thing.
But even the artwork and how they look as people look more like people and less like cartoon characters.
Yes.
Wacky Raceland by Sexton and Pontac. So this is Dick Dastardly meets Mad Max.
This is probably the one I'm least interested
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was never a huge fan of Wacky Races anyways.
Yeah.
Scooby Apocalypse by Lee Giffen and Porter. Yeah, basically, they saw Afterlife with Archie
and said,
hey, we want a piece of that.
Yeah.
And Future Quest by Parker and Shaner that is going to feature the Hanna-Barbera action heroes. And there's a piece of concept art, and it includes Johnny Quest, Space Ghost, Herculoids, Galaxy Trio, The Impossibles, Birdman, and Mighty Mitor, and Frankenstein Jr. While this sounds interesting as concepts, I'm not sure how this becomes a long-running idea.
Well, you know, like, Future Quest could theoretically be like an anthology-type series rather than Johnny Quest with all these people.
Right. It could well be a set of stories within.
Uh-huh.
Which would probably be much easier than trying to figure out how to get Johnny Quest into the Space Ghost continuity and vice versa.
I'd be much more interested if it was Harvey Birdman, attorney at law.
And I'd much rather see these titles as kids' titles because we need to get more kids into the comic book shops.
Well, you know, and really the thing is that kids want to read Superman and Batman and all those things, but there really isn't an outlet for that right now.
No. Kids' titles are needed, and there are many of them, but DC, this was an opportunity to do that, and not so much.
Well, they really want adults to spend money, not have to price them lower for kids who can't afford the $4.99 or $3.99 a copy.
That's true, but eventually, if the kids don't get involved, then there won't be a comic book market, unfortunately.
True.
Well, sorry, there's no Who's on the Cover this week because, damn you, double issues! So I want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn. Call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.